Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost 1 million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nurse are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Gene, a.k.a. Watson Heath, and I'm here with my boy, Jazz. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watchmate Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka, you know what? I would be able to read your nickname, but it's too dark in here to read it.
Well played. So for everyone tuning in, we're all in the dark today because of the episode.
Oh man, I was like, yo, we had to do this episode in the dark because this entire episode I was there with a flashlight, like, what am I looking at? I was with my phone. I was like what is this
It was too dark.
Bad. It was fine if you had an OLED screen, but unless you have like a high dollar like panel, it was bad. Like on LCDs, like my monitors here, I could not see anything.
Whatever you set your settings to for the long night is what you should have had them on for this entire
day. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And ironically, like this episode here, it's daytime that they filmed. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. My camera is a little dirty, but yeah, it's literally daytime. And apparently
the whole thing is done in daytime, and they do the thing called like night day, where they basically make it look like night in post production. The entire episode was filmed in the daytime, and they've actually done this on Jordan Peele's new movie Nope, is where they did this, and it's because like when you have like scenes with such like background and stuff like that, it's impossible to get good shots at night because lighting can only hit like one or two spots, where if you want lighting to hit everything evenly,
I see.
But Jordan Peele was able to do it, and I was just gonna say,
Nope should be a blueprint for that. Then
exactly. Mm-hmm.
God, that movie's so good.
All right. Now the bit's over. I'm gonna go put my lights back on. Hold on 1 second.
It's all 1 second.
That's so funny. Yeah, this is better. I can see all your faces.
There you go. There are the beautiful.
Oh, there's a background. Yes. Here.
Jazz turned off his camera to turn the lights on because he's probably wearing shorts underneath it.
It's a bit worse than that.
Nothing at all. Free, brother.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh, we already got some people in the comments. Maybe that's why darkness is so unnatural. Yeah. Yeah, for sure,
but
man.
If you have to squint to look at what happened, no, you're not doing a good job.
I actually watched it on my phone, which was a lot better. If you take your phone and turn up the brightness, you can actually see it.
Yeah, because your phone has an OLED display. That's usually the thing. So yeah.
Yes.
I love you too.
Oh, look at all these shots. Yo, JJ. Okay, let's introduce our guest. We forgot to introduce our in the darkness. We forgot to introduce our guest. First, we want to introduce JJ. She's already getting love in the comments. Look at her right now, back by popular demand.
Thank you.
One of the funnest episodes we've ever had. You've had with JJ. Some people are commenting. They are saying, I saw on Twitter, turn the day into night due to weather conditions, and it ruined the continuity. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, Richard got some fans in the crowd, too.
What's up, Jamie?
Richard, you know you are our only hat trick. You are the only person who's been on the show 3 times in a week.
That's awesome.
That's pretty dope.
My evenings aren't, especially weekday evenings, aren't filled with a whole lot. So it's like, well, if I'm up, I'll jump in.
Look at all the love you guys are getting in the comment section. Crap. Oh my god, this is awesome.
I think my TikTok video helped this one.
Yes, let's do it. No, yo, there is so much to go over this week. We got to get started. So like, woo. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's jump into this. Right. All right. Starts off at the funeral, which I was so excited about this funeral. I mean, usually it's weird to say I'm excited about a funeral.
That's a statement.
No, but I really, really saw some cool similarities between Islamic culture and the funeral that they had for the Valerians. So one of the cool things that I noticed is they basically have something called a janaza. A janaza is basically like a Muslim burial, and they do some of these in the sea sometimes. And one thing they said is like, oh, from the sea you came, from the sea you will return. That is something that we always say. Like, it's like if any Muslim person ever dies, we say this in Arabic. You just replace the sea with Allah. And it's like you have to say this. Like, everyone has to say this. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And then that got me thinking, what medieval characters in tales and history are black? And I'm like, the Moors have always been black, right? And then you think about like, who are some famous Moors? You think of like Othello, and you're like, this is like a Shakespearean medieval story. Why wouldn't they base them off the Moors? That makes so much sense to do. And then I was thinking, and I'm watching this funeral, and we see these three ladies wearing veils, which almost resemble hijabs. And I'm just like, why are all these things?
Very interesting.
It may be a reach. I'm not saying it's not a reach, but I'm saying like there are a lot of cool similarities between a Muslim burial and the way the Valerians did it.
Interesting. Very
what
interesting.
Do you guys think about that? You want to go first, JJ?
I mean, I can't speak for the customs and for the religion. I don't know if anything. Valerians are very, they're an ancient Valerian family, basically.
Yeah.
They have magical properties as well, sort of, kind of, if you see them bonding with dragons and things of that nature, and they are very much bound to sea and seafaring.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know much beyond that, except that they immigrated to Westeros before Targaryens, but that's pretty much it. So their history is not as fleshed out as I want to, so...
Do they have any pictures of what all Valeria looks like? Because I looked some up, and they look very Islamic. Like, there's domes, and there's pillars, and I'm just like, a lot of coincidence here, man. A lot of coincidence here.
Because if you look at the map, if you go look at the map of, like, Westeros, Essos, you have Sotaris on the bottom, Altaros, I think that's how it's pronounced. You could kind of geographically place, like, real-world places within that map, you know what I mean? So it would not surprise me if they had Islamic influences in some of these rituals.
Well, let me show this real quick, actually, because this looks really interesting. This looks like Turkey.
That's the map.
The UK. Yeah,
that's a good map.
This literally looks like Turkey, and then the UK, like right here. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's super interesting, man. A lot of cool coincidences, man. I thought they were really, really cool.
I wouldn't even call them coincidences, because George R. R. Martin loves to take stuff from history and stuff, reskin it, and then call it his own, which, man. I mean, he does, because he changed the words on plagiarization, but like, there's definitely influences all over. So definitely not coincidental.
Yeah, No
hyper-fictional history, kind of what he calls it. So,
Nof Solo has the Arabic inscription of it in the whatchamacallit in the that's really cool. I thought that was awesome. All right, let's talk some more about
the funeral, because we got to talk about what Romo's saying, the shade being thrown. Oh my god.
Oh yes, there was shade being thrown. Richard, you want to get into that one?
You mean the Daemon and
Vaemon?
Yeah. When it was last year,
I think back to like episode one when he's goading Otto, or I'm sorry, Daemon is goading Otto into a response, and his brother's response is, you know he loves getting on you, why do you tempt him with this? So when he throws that line about God seemed to have been crueler to you,
Oh God.
But he was like, he knew that that's his brother's sense of humor. But right as he's like exiting that conversation, if you go back and you look at his mouth when he says I need nothing from you. But right before, and we look back and we look very closely at his mouth, he's yes. always starting to mouth Rhaenyra.
Yes.
At least like, okay, she caught it
too. If you zoom it in and you maybe slow it down, he's trying to say Rhaenyra. And
he
then
said he stops it.
Yeah.
What did you think about him snickering while the funeral procession was going on?
I honestly JJ. Don't have much of an opinion on it, to be honest. I'll defer to someone else.
So if you like a couple of people have posted that whole scene and they kind of slowed it down to watch facial expressions. Vaemond, Corlys's younger brother, he's basically committing some light treason in High mm-hmm. Valyrian.
Yeah.
He's suggesting that the kids are not legitimate, which again, that's treason. They are accepted as Valyrians. They are Valyrians. So mm-hmm. Daemon laughs to distract. And he works because everybody looks at him.
Yeah.
Because it's so uncomfortable. Even Jacarius is like, notices that because he understands the concept of bastardry. So he, and then Daemon snickers and it's very yeah. uncomfortable, but he takes attention away from Rhaenyra and the boys and what Daemon is doing.
Yeah, I like how you said light treason. It's like diet treason. It's like all the treason without the calories.
Because he's saying it, but he's not saying it. And he's only speaking High Valyrian, which only a handful of people in that group are going to understand. So, yeah. So that's why I said light treason.
I'm looking at the comments. I think a lot of people are in favor of this theory here that he was doing to distract.
It was distraction. Yeah. Because Daemon is not stupid. He knows what's going
absolutely.
On.
He's super calculated.
Daemon really doesn't care about the kids. Like even his own kids. I don't know why, but we all seen the deleted scenes. I don't know why they took that deleted scene out with him hugging the girls.
I have no idea. I have no comment on that because they almost want to make him appear as cruel, not cruel, cold.
Yeah.
More so than but he is gentle. They bring out his softer side, at least from some of the text evidence that we have, but they seem to take that away. I'm hoping for some deleted scenes in the like a DVD set or something like that. So
yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, brother. Would you like some light treason?
Oh, Pat, I love him. Oh, that's fantastic.
Pat has the best lines, but he comes in the comment section. Love that man. Oh, man. All right, let's talk a little bit about the cousins because there's a lot of stuff happening. They're actually not cousins. Everybody called them cousins, but they're actually like nephew and niece, right? Which is kind of interesting. But for the for the sake of like making sense, we'll just call them cousins.
Cousins, yeah.
But they tell him to go connect and go talk to his girl cousins. And we see a little bit of a bond between the girls and Rhaenyra's, her sons, right? I thought that was interesting. Richard, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, well, just to kind of like jump ahead, who's the first people that the girls run to help them when they see their mother's dragon taking off with somebody on it? They go straight to the boys. So this scene kind of establishes them. You know, at least because obviously they really don't know each other. They might have spent some time in passing over the years, but like really they have not been on the same continent, especially since Daemon's been exiled more or less this whole time. And I'm sure his kids and Laena would be staying with him. So I don't think they saw much of their cousins at all. But this is a good scene where we get to see them kind of at least, you know, the hand holding like that was big. If they couldn't do it with words, they could do it with a visual, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What do you, JJ, what did you think about when they were fighting, how they came to the rescue of the girls and they were fighting for their honor? I thought that was kind of cool, or for their dragon.
Yeah, that scene was changed a bit from the text. Mm. The girls were not there. And the funeral actually takes place. It was Laenor's funeral. It wasn't Laena's. Laena dies before that. So basically, and Joffrey is five at this point, Rhaenyra's third son. Yeah. So they're tussling with Aemon Valerian, and at least in a book, and that's when conflict really breaks out. Basically, Aemon is beating Jace almost to death. And then that's when Luke strikes him with a knife and cuts his eye out. That's how that takes place. Yeah.
The moment I saw that live, I went straight to Twitter because I knew someone had already posted the pocket sand meme.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
The hell?
I went running right to Twitter. It was there. I love the internet.
I actually love that she threw a pretty solid right claw. Oh,
loved it.
That was dope.
I have that GIF on my repeat in my head. It feeds me.
That's definitely his. What's it called? She's definitely her daughter's. Her father's
daughter. Yeah. That was a beautiful call to the personality that she's going to be established as more like her father for sure, which I loved.
Oh, we got some comments.
Here. Live, my God.
Jazz, share some of these comments, Jazz.
So, first question: do the green speak Valyrian?
The younger boys, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The boys do because they are actually Targaryen, and I'm sure at some point in their schooling, you know, growing up, they would definitely be taught that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then Liana was talking about Bela and how it's sad to see him so distant from his kids, especially during the funeral. That was really sad. Oh, Sham brings up a good point.
The kids are they're with their grandparents, you know. It's not like they're just leaning on him, and he has that, you know, moment to kind of go and step away and kind of go get his. But they're with their grandparents, so you know they should definitely feel like safe and comfortable, you know, there.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Daemon is not the kind of person that expresses that fatherly attachment as someone should expect. That's just not.
He's a man of action, not really a man of words.
Does he have use of this? Can he make a statement out of this? What does this do for him? Sort of. That's his motivation. Not to say that he doesn't care for the kids. It's just he's not going to show it in a way that people expect.
I really like how they're flushing out a lot of these younger kids' personalities. Because we got like Aegon, who's kind of just a drunk and probably like harassing people sexually, doing like, you know, Me Too's on everyone. Right. He goes, one of the scenes that he caught me up where he goes, "Wench, another."
Oh, he did.
You're right. You're totally right. I forgot about that.
That took me out. That was so funny.
I was drinking at the time, and I wanted to throw my own glass on the floor. Another
one.
But then you got the younger brother, who's not Aemon, but the from Rhaenyra's, who's like, I don't want to be the Lord of Driftwood. I don't want this because it means everyone dies. Yeah. So he's kind of
so
like
sad.
Yeah, he's got the heart. He's like he's gonna be like the kind person that we.
That's Luke Harris. He's the one that strikes the blow on. I've been waiting so long in this podcast to be able to just call him Aemon One Eye.
Yeah.
Now I can just not have
very
to,
quick
not worry about letting that slip. So
you know what's really funny? Jazz did an episode 3 days ago with an eye patch on, which was really funny.
You know what? I'll be right back.
This motherfucker is gonna go put on an eye patch. I know it.
Hell yeah.
All right. What else are we gonna talk about? Did you notice that as the king was walking by, he called her Emma?
I didn't catch that. My friend did. Shout out to at Keith's Loaded. He caught that. I didn't, and he made me go back and rewatch it a second time.
Oh yeah, it was.
And I was like, when? And then the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, I forget his name, but he corrects
Harold
him.
Harold Westerling.
Has to hit him with the.
Should we ask Queen Alicent?
Queen Alicent, and then he kind of does the double take, and it's like, oh man, you're not doing too well, buddy.
No, and that marriage is already contentious as it is, so
exactly.
you just bring that up.
It was a fair trade. I got dragged out.
You got a fair trade, yeah.
For the people watching on the audio podcast, Jazz just put on an eye patch.
Totally did.
Oh man. Even trade.
Mm.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's get into it. Cause first of all, there's some uncle fucking happening over here, which is like wild. Which I think
good old fashioned Targaryen incest.
Yeah. I think there's a song called Uncle Fucker in South Park.
Your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a fucking Uncle Fucker. I never thought that those lyrics would come back.
That's what I was thinking about the entire time.
Fuck your uncle every day. Don't play his uncle fucker.
I'm going to make a TikTok with that sound in the background. But like,
oh my God.
Yeah, do that.
But it'd be worthless because nobody can see anything anyways. Oh, man.
Right. Speaking of good old-fashioned Targaryen incest, aren't Daemon and Rhaenyra going to marry their kids? We're going to get to that in the not-so-near future.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about Aemon going after the dragon, because as much as we don't like Aemon, I got to say, man, took some balls.
Right there. He earned my respect there.
Yeah, because like he had to not fall off that thing. That he was the dragon was gonna try to kill him. The dragon's like, you earned it. Yeah. What do you think, Alex?
Well, he wanted to burn him initially. She wanted to burn him initially. Like right. The mouth was open and the fire was, and then it calmed down. That was a huge moment in bonding. Like you don't get a lot of dragon bonding, at least not in Game of Thrones show. And then this is the first time we actually see that happening, and it's huge, at least for like lore fans. So right? I loved it.
And it's not just like bonding, like when the is born, it gets attached to you. Like he had to bond with the what you call it, a dragon that was already bonded with somebody, right?
With several at that time. So yeah, like, this kid is Vhagar. Coming up. I thought about like the first time we saw Vhagar flying, and you see like all like the like kind of ropes hanging off of it. I'm like, what is the point of all that crap? And then I realized, holy hell, he's so huge.
Yeah,
climb ropes to get up to the top of him, and those ended up being what saved him. Because he, I mean, if you know anything about like horse saddles, there's a thing called the horn at the front that you usually kind of rest your hands on.
Yes.
And those have two horns, and then also like kind of like a guiding a rope or chain, and it's the guiding chain while he's flying up. And so if anything, I know he weighs like not even a pound compared to this dragon, but if you were to do that to a horse, his head would keep rising up and back, and that's why I think the dragon just decided, oh, you want to keep pulling on me like that, fine,
I'm gonna go like this.
So
it was fantastic. I loved that scene. That was probably my favorite scene. I wish it was just a little bit lighter so we can actually see the sheer size of Vhagar. She is massive, and she's like 200 plus years old, so ancient, battle ridden. Old, she's an old granny.
You can see the holes in her wings, which are like wild,
right? Because she, again, her rider was Visenya Targaryen, the original conqueror of Westeros. So there's a huge precedent there
for sure.
Chaz, you want to read off some of these comments?
Yeah, so Hannah was asking, what happened to Sea Smoke, and so
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
That's a big one, yeah. That's a big one.
I was like, yeah, Pat was saying the exact same thing. You're trying to claim me? Hope you're wearing clean underwear.
Oh man, that's funny. No, yeah. But you know what's really funny? Vhagar is the dragon in all the promos and stuff like that. That's the one they show. So that's the big deal. That's going to be huge.
It's a huge deal. Huge deal. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. So let's talk about the little fight. Let's talk about them calling him a bastard. Like, after he came off that dragon, dude had a different personality.
Oh, he could do anything at that point. He was, I mean, big dick swinging. Nothing about him at all. He was
hot boy summer. He's hot boy summer.
He was the full chat ready to rock.
Oh my gosh. So my God. It was fact. I really like that.
And keep in mind, he's been taunted this whole time that he doesn't have a dragon. So his father tells him, you can get a dragon if you're bold enough. And what did he do?
He gets the biggest one. Get wrecked.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are upset, you know, that he just sort of took the dragon. Like, you can't steal a dragon from Rhaena. That dragon is unclaimed. She doesn't belong to anybody. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of like, take emotion out of it. Like, you have a reclaimer.
I don't know because the girl was going to claim her. That was the plan, but she's mourning her mom, so she's like, all right, let me give it a minute.
I get it, but Aemond is not, you know, you're expecting decency out of a kid who doesn't give a crap about his cousins, obviously.
You know what I mean? The dragon, if he wants it, he claims it.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Here's the thing. Did Aemond see little uncle fucking happening? Did he see it? Is that what made him run?
Oh my God. Because
I couldn't make it out.
Oh, you mean like Aemond seeing them via like on Dragonback?
No. So
Aemond like flying, right? That happened right when Rhaenyra and Daemon were together.
Uh-huh.
Could well, he they're have in a seen... hut or something. Oh, or, like, I think
yeah.
or something.
Maybe.
Oh, were they?
Okay. Yeah.
It will be irrelevant.
You know what?
That
would have been more easy to tell if I could see what was going on.
Yeah, if he had the same filter, I don't think he's making out faces. Even that bright ass white hair is not, I don't think, is going to happen. Yeah. And he's having too much fun. In Fire and Blood, it says he takes two like kind of victory laps around the island. But in this one, we kind of only see him like just barely get his bearing with it. And then he just kind of goes back to Driftmark?
Driftmark, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Still on Driftmark at this point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make sure they weren't on high tide and misspeak. So, I don't think he was paying attention at all. At that point, he's so in the zone, cannot be messed with. So,
And they're like totally two separate events happening. You know what I mean? So the connection doesn't really make sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
All right. Oh, so let's talk about Damon and Harris and their conversation. Oh, by the way, I think people in the comments are saying, JJ, your mic is scratching. So if you could just hold it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thanks for the people who pointed that out. So he asked her, she asked him, did you love her? And he goes, it was enough. Right. Which I thought was pretty interesting. Like they had kind of like a contractual marriage, but there was love there. There was enough there, which I thought was really good, man. And I wish we got to see more of that. Is there anything that like we missed out on that might've been in the books and stuff?
Well, they took their honeymoon, if you want to call it that, back in all in Essos, basically. They were there for a while. From what we know, Elena's death is different in the book, the way it was handled versus the show. So from what we know, he cared about Elena. Does he love anybody is the question romantically. It's a tough one to answer. I'll be honest with you. He cared enough about Elena. And that's more than you can ask for in this world where everybody's just really fucked up. you know what I mean? Like, it's just you take crumbs where you can get them. So whether it was true love, like, hard to answer. I'll be honest.
I think she actually accepted that it wasn't like the love we think of now.
Yeah,
but she was like, you know what? You did love me. You were great for everything. Thank you.
Yeah, he did more than his duty, and you could tell like they actually enjoyed like being around each other. Like, you know, even when they were like kind of like quasi fighting before she gives birth or attempts to give birth, you could tell like there's like they were comfortable ways, like super comfortable and loving each other. To the point where like that was like an awkward like no, like I'm putting my foot down here. And then they're both, you know, they split the way they do. So
That like, kind of relationship is very
like, it's like a half cake with some icing on it.
That's exactly right. That's a good way to put it.
I was gonna say that kind of relationship is very common to see in South Asian households because, you know, parents are not that affectionate and stuff like that. And most of the marriages are arranged. So like that's kind of the love that you see. There's like, you know, they weren't like high school sweethearts or anything,
right.
But like they grew to love each other and they have that respect for each other. And so like when I saw their relationship, it reminded me of a lot of like South Asian relationships that happened in these arranged marriages back in the day. So which I think is very interesting. Michelle says, I think they had a true partnership and their love was more companionship. Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair. Absolutely fair assessment. Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Cool, cool. All right. So let's talk about Alicent.
oh boy.
Yo, she went a little crazy.
a little crazy. A
lot of rage boiling over that finally just erupted.
Oh man, that was a long time coming. A long time coming. The interesting thing is she has also instilled a lot of this drama into her kids. And you see it boil up and passed down to the next generation, which is very like that happens. That happens in a lot of like South
trauma.
Stuff like that. Yep.
Look at her father. Man. Her father did the same to her. Now she's doing it. It's just passing on that trauma, passing on those sort of biases and knowledge and whatever the high towers are about down to their children. So what happened with the boys and the girls, it was gonna happen. That keg was just bursting to explode.
She went Karen mode. Yep.
Oh yeah.
And she is a Karen because not just in that mode, but also like she is virtuous and pretend to be righteous and all that stuff, right? And then like when she attacks Rhaenyra, she's like, "Yes, now they see you for who you are." And like I feel like Rhaenyra let her stab her. That's the impression that I got. What about you guys?
So I kind of like the mirroring between what happened with Ser Harwin and Criston Cole in the training yard, how he kind of goads him into attacking him. So that way, even though he doesn't confess his crimes, right here, we're getting to see basically Rhaenyra do the same thing to Alicent, like right back, like she learned from
goaded her.
And then goaded her into attack. So like, yes, now. Even though you don't say anything out loud, everybody sees you like the way I've seen you this whole time. So,
and you have to look at Alicent from a perspective where she comes from. The High Towers are tied to Old Town, which is where the Great Sept is. Think of the Faith of the Seven as an equivalent, maybe, to Catholicism. So they're very pious. They're very, that whole religion is very like patriarchal, however you want to put it. So she's very highly tied into it. There's a lot of rules, especially rules for women. She has to follow those rules, you know what I mean? And she's stuck in a marriage that's loveless with a corpse of a man, while Rhaenyra Rhaenyra being heir to the throne, she has sex for pleasure and she doesn't get punished for that. Her virginity has been compromised. So she has bastards. No consequences for her actions, but Allison has to live by these rules that Rhaenyra keeps breaking and not getting punished for. So when she attacked Rhaenyra, it wasn't even about Aemon. I don't think she gives two shits about those kids. Like, the way she's, she's annoyed with little Helaena was pretty evident. She keeps slapping Aegon around, while all he wants to do is wank off and fucking get drunk. You know what I mean? Like, those kids don't deserve that mistreatment, in my opinion. But she keeps just basically passing on her rage onto them. And that's going to definitely manifest.
Yeah. As Rome was saying, the jealousy's so thick she had to cut it with the knife.
Oh, basically,
I do think that one of the interesting parts is that, like, she became so emboldened in, like, that argument that she was like, Kristen Cole, give me his eye. I was like, what? Oh, I was like, Kristen, you need to chill.
When Kristen Cole was like, bro, you gotta
pipe it down.
Like if he's telling you that and it's like this situation.
You're doing something wrong.
You made the line like, you know, I am swore to be yours, but I'm also only swore to defend you and protect you. I am not sworn to attack for you.
I'm glad
he made a distinction.
But like, the nerve of this motherfucker, like, didn't you, when he was like, oh, we never expected to protect princes from themselves, like, didn't you just kill a dude like a few years
at a wedding with no consequences?
Wild, that guy. Oh my god.
Well, as Allison said, is it on her side or is it on everyone else's side? As long as on her side, it's okay.
She says that to Larys Clubfoot or in the previous episode, like, I need my father, like, you know, your father is gonna be impartial. He'll be impartial, but to me. Exactly. So it's like, as long as he upholds what I have to do, I'm good with that. So yeah.
I like how at the end of the episode, like, she has to, like, basically point blank tell him, like, no. We had a miscommunication last time, so let me be very clear. Stand down and stand by.
and they almost implied that he might be crushing on her or in love with her, the way he's looking at her, the way he's, like, lurking around her. It almost seemed like he was...
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. 100% stalker vibes. He's in love. He is, like, doing everything for her to be that, like, knight in shining armor. We see guys do it all the time with love bombing. Like, he is totally crushing on her.
Who are we talking about? Larys?
Yeah, Clubfoot. Yeah,
I don't agree. I feel like he can't love anyone but himself. I think he's only interested in himself. He killed his own brother and father. I don't know. Could he love anyone?
He did it for her, though.
He also knows that the king's going to die soon and that she will be looking for a husband. And so, why not accelerate his rise to power now? So that way, he's a suitable suitor. And then,
if it comes to that, it makes sense.
But I think. I don't even want to call him, like, Larys Strong anymore. I want to call him Larys Simp, because
really? All right.
For Allison doing anything.
I love that.
I'm on the plane where, like, I don't think he's simping for her. I think he's just super evil and devious. But you guys might convince me. You might have convinced me, but I need a little bit more convincing.
I think by doing all of these favors, just that is alone the act of simping. It might be for his own benefit, but in the process, he is simping.
Think Peter Baelish. Clubfoot is the blueprint for Baelish.
Hannah makes a good point. At the funeral, the way he was staring, that was not sneaky.
Sneaky. Kristen Cole noticed it. Didn't he alert her to the lurking? Yeah. So he was being very, very. Why wasn't that stupid fucker at his own dad's funeral?
Clue number one, see, he doesn't even want to go near Harrenhal because I think even he thinks that it's cursed.
Let's talk about that. What is this Harren's curse that everyone talks about? JJ, you want to go take this, JJ?
Oh, yeah. So, oh my God, Harren the Black. Oh, God. So he stems from the Ironborn, and he ruled Ironlands and the Riverrun for a while, right around Aegon's conquest, right? So it took 40 years to build Harrenhal. It's this great, monstrous castle that's completely, by his standard, impregnable. Huge five towers, just like curtain walls, you name it, like just massive. No one can touch it. There's rumors that Harren sacrificed people and infused blood into the mortar. So the whole castle is sort of literally drenched in blood. And then he cut weirwood trees, which are sacred to the Northmen, to build basically like foundation and other beams and all that stuff. So that castle is just a monument to hubris, monument to a man. You know what I mean? So gods punish Heron the Black when, and then Aegon the Conqueror arrives with the dragons. So, and there's an iconic line in 3 BC, right? As Aegon descends to conquer Westeros, he goes to Heron like, submit or else. He's like, yeah, you're in touch with me. I'm in Harrenhal. It's impregnable. You can't do shit. Mm-hmm. So Aegon is like, by the time the night ends, your line will end. So he comes back. So damn. He comes back with Beleriand the Black Dread and basically cooks Harren in one of the towers.
Wow.
Yeah. And the rest of his sons alive in that.
Correct. And it's a rumor that they're ghosts or they're some kind of variation of them haunt the halls. Mm-hmm. And if you look upon Harren, if you see him as ghost, you're set on fire.
Oh,
it's crazy.
They said that the day that the last brick was laid at Harren Hall was the day that Aegon landed. The day that the I forgot where I was going, but anyways, he
was pretty bad. He was
he melted like candle wax whenever he was just torching it, and then it's an oven.
Not only that, he depleted all of the funds and money out of like Riverlands and Iron Islands. Well, he just completely bankrupted that whole area to build that castle. He was very cruel, known for his cruelty, like insane cruelty.
Oh man, that's a lot of backstory. That's great.
Harrenhal is whoever takes Harrenhal, they're literally doomed for the line to end.
Yes, everyone, no one alive, because obviously Harrenhal keeps changing hands because people just keep
all the
dying.
Time. Correct.
Every single person, and the last person to hold Harrenhal
is Peter Baelish.
Oh no,
Peter Baelish is the Lord of Harrenhal. Yeah,
they make it a point before, like at the end of the show, they're kind of like divvying up all the like, oh, who's gonna get what castle and this and that. No one mentions Harrenhal.
That's funny.
That would have been like really good, like if like a bad guy had lived to the end and then he inherited Harrenhal, and it would have been like, I know what's gonna happen to you.
That's funny. All right,
go on, Harrenhal.
You mentioned rumors, so let's talk about the rumors that will circle after what happened with Daemon and Rhaenyra and their masterful plan. So I thought that was really, really cool. I did not expect the ending. I really thought that they went ahead with it like the way they explained it to us, and then we found out that no, it was a little bit of a ruse. JJ, you want to talk about that?
So this is a massive, massive change from Fire and Blood, and it changes a lot of things moving forward. And I'm going to try to tread lightly, not to spoil future events of the show. Right. We can take stuff offline if people are interested. Laenor dies by two accounts in Fire and Blood. So the way Fire and Blood functions, it's written by a perspective of a bunch of people. You have Gildane, Eustace, Mushroom, who is this little court jester who kind of exaggerates events. So Carl Corey is set to murder Laenor out of jealousy because he set him aside. He got a new boyfriend, so he killed him out of jealousy. Mushroom says that Daemon hired Carl to kill Laenor so he can get Rhaenyra. So that's how he ends up marrying Rhaenyra. But apparently that's not what happened. Now Laenor survived and went back east.
Yeah. Also, whenever I hear the name Carl, it's such a weird name to have. Like, I think
Q-A-R-L.
Like, I know.
It's hilarious.
Hey, I always think of Walking Dead. You're like, Carl. Carl.
You have Rhaenyra, Viserys, Rhaegar, and then Carl.
It's like in Star Wars where there's a guy named Tim out of nowhere.
Andor, they added an extra M to make it more
exotic. The extra M stands for motherfucker, because fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. No, seriously.
Oh, man.
But snitches. Bitches get snitches.
No. You have to finish it now.
Let it out.
Bitches got snitches.
All right, so it was a cool plan. So I was like, how are they going to convince them that that's his body? But I realized he cut off the hair and put it on the other body of the guy he snapped the neck of, which I thought.
He just burned him to a crisp.
And burned the face so you can't
see. Yeah, they burned all of the upper body. I really like, I tweeted about it earlier this week that, Ramsay Bolton's quote, whenever he's asking Reek about, you know, basically was, no, what did happen to the Stark boys? Like, I never found them. And then Ramsay says, and burnt them to a crisp so no one would know. Yeah. And so they pull the same.
Oh my God, that's good.
And then, but I do want to say, when this scene started and I knew where they were going to go with it, you know, without the twist at the end that Leonor lives, I got out of my chair and I was like, Team Green, this is too far. This is way too far. Team
Green.
Team Green. And then when they flipped it back at the end, I was like, I should have never doubted Team Green.
We're back. Exactly.
Rhaenyra and Daemon said gay rights, period.
The biggest allies of all time. Ever. And they ever. Killed him.
Yeah. Yes, very protect.
Oh man, that's
Michelle brings up a good point. I'm very happy they didn't do the bury the gays trope. So.
Yes. Yeah, oh my God,
no, that was good.
True,
but I also like the fact that she's like, you know what, people are going to think that we did this, and you know what, let them think, let mm-hmm. them have the whispers, mm-hmm. because then they won't know what we're capable of. So they get the reputation without actually having to do the bad deed, which I thought was really cool,
or at least face the consequences for them. So
yeah, Lenny, I was right.
I do wonder, I'm sorry, Daemon was supposed to take, you know, wanted to take that deal with whoever from Pentos that was going to offer him that land and all that. I was mm-hmm. thinking with the whole Sea Smoke, you know, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Maybe Sea Smoke just kind of sniffs him out and goes overseas, and then basically he just holds to the same deal that Daemon was going to take, since now Daemon's stuck on Dragonstone. He's not going to be able to go and you know, fight all that stuff, because he's got another war that he's got to fight. Meanwhile, Leonor, hey, there's this great opportunity for a dragon rider to just make all this money and screw whoever he wants to screw. You want to take this opportunity? And I don't know. Not that we'll ever get to know, but I'm thinking that's kind of potentially where he went.
JJ, it's what possible. Do you think is going to happen to Sea Smoke?
Oh, this is a tough one to answer because I just don't want to spoil the events
that are going
to happen. Because again, you keep in mind what dragon riding means. You can only have one rider per dragon while each lives. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. A lot of people have asked me, at least in my comments, wouldn't Sea Smoke sense that Leonor is alive or dead? Yes, he would. But again, if you're a person looking at the dragon, you don't know what that dragon might be feeling. You know what I mean? Is he in distress? Is he happy? He could just be floating around. He doesn't have to be claimed. And if somebody tries to claim him, obviously they're going to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So will Leonor return? There's a rumor... Oh, God damn it. I can't answer that without spoiling the events. I'm sorry, guys.
One last thing that we didn't talk about before we mm-hmm. go. Otto Hightower is the Hand again. Like... Mm. How convenient. And then he had that conversation with his daughter where she was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I know I messed up. And he's like, no, good. Let the evil flow through your veins. What do you think about that, JJ?
Well, that's just basically reaffirming what Otto has been doing, moving chess pieces for Allison to get to that point where the rage boils over. So mm-hmm. that she's finally got to a point of like pure hatred for Rhaenyra and that whole faction over there, so they can finally get into the battle mode. And he says that, you know, now we have Vhagar,
yes.
implying future events. You know what I mean? So I think he just groomed her to be who she is actually at this point, which is a reference to a book.
He said it was worth 1,000 ships, right? Or 1,000.
1,000. Basically, he paid the price. Like, you could pay that price 1,000 times and still you come out on top with Vhagar. And he's right.
And he's absolutely right.
You got the big bad.
Absolutely right. You have the nuclear bomb.
Yeah,
exactly.
I thought like when, and I might have said this last week, but now it's definitely confirmed, when I see Otto and Allison conversating and actually like scheming, at this point, it really just makes me think of how much more dangerous Cersei could have been if Tywin had properly groomed her.
Groomed her, yes.
Oh, and he was just like, no, you're a woman, go breed because that's your job and, you know, F off. And she, you know, and Tywin tells her like, I don't distrust you because you're a woman. I distrust you because you're not as smart as you think you are. So why didn't you just teach her better? You spent 4 hours a day with Jamie trying to get him to read. You could have spent a little bit more time, you know, teaching your daughter things. I was going to say, you know, but.
No, that's actually a fantastic comparison. Because Cersei would, it could have been second Tywin. It's his son Tyrion that's basically second Tywin in the making. But Cersei had the potential had he paid some attention to her. But she's very dumb. She is a stupid character.
She got, she got the basically like the job that Allison is like still like willing to fight a war for. Her mm-hmm. son on the throne, her bastard, mm-hmm. maybe her bastard son, but
right.
Dead,
right.
Son on the throne, and her whispering in his ear, basically ruling through him, and. Allison's like willing to, you know, burn half the Seven Kingdoms to do this.
Yep.
And I mean, I guess Cersei was too, but Cersei's just an idiot and she squandered the possession. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. All right. 100%. Cool. Okay, guys. Like, we got like 5 more minutes and like I want to read out some of these comments. Thank you for all the people commenting. Sham Sham.
Yes. Sahela. Thank you guys.
All of these people. Hannah. Like,
oh, Sahela, is she here? Oh my God. Hi. Yeah. So many cool people. I love her.
Yara. Like, I can just go on and on, Michelle. Like,
yes, yo,
so many people in the comments today,
guys. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, all of that stuff. Thank you for coming on. Let's have some final thoughts before we end this episode. JJ, you want to go first?
The same issue that I've had with the rest of the season is the pace. It's just everything is moving really way too fast. I just don't have time to process a lot of it. I thought this episode was a little too dark. Those are two critiques that I have, but as far
as it's too dark.
Very nice. But it's definitely a chessboard and pieces are set for the factions to be formed and for dance to start, basically. I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed Vhagar and Aemon bonding. Daemon and Rhaenyra's lusting for each other finally and getting together after all these years. And they only got married really fast because they don't have time to spare.
Right.
Viserys would have stopped that wedding. Plus, they need to consider future and her legitimacy, mm-hmm. especially after Vaemon implies, you know, the boys are bastards. Oh, yeah. So when Valyrians are saying that on top of the Greens, so they need to speed up the process. So, yeah,
yep.
I like the episode. It was very, very good. Very dramatic.
Richard, what about you? What are your final thoughts of the episode?
Not just very dark in picture and quality, but in overall tone, I do understand why they went with the darker tone. And yes, like you were saying, you know, the whole we do need the time jumps, because unless they have 6 seasons to go about this, and this is supposed to be just a kind of a small story.
Right, I get that.
So yeah, the pacing is, I understand why people are frustrated with it, but you know, get over it. You're gonna fucking watch and enjoy it anyway, so shut up. Outside of that, this episode was I've been waiting for this one because I've been obviously waiting for Aemon. Obviously, out of all the Greens, he's going to be obviously the badass. And you know, that's not a spoiler, but I wanted to see kind of his development go from the kind of timid kid, you know, of mm-hmm. last episode. Yeah. And last episode when I was telling y'all that she might have the power of prophecy and this and that as she's playing with her. Yep. Caterpillar or whatever, she says, you know, and his mom's shaking him like, you will ride a dragon one day, and she says, and he'll have to close an eye mm-hmm. or close an eye forever or something like that. And
yeah,
whatever she was on about today, I don't know what it is, if she might be like autistic or something like that, but she is in full prophecy mode and she don't even fucking know it. So
yeah, I think Helena is having a very powerful dragon dreams and they're affecting her like personality. That's why she's so like in like closed off, you know what I mean? She reminds me of Patch Face from Game of Thrones a lot. It's a little, it's mm-hmm. another court jester that has riddles and prophecies, which I think is a reincarnation of Lord of the Light, but that's a little different. But yeah, it reminded me of that.
Yes. Oh, before we go, JJ, I forgot to say, where can people follow you? Where can people find you?
So TikTok and Twitter are where I'm mostly at. Cat Lady JJ on both. So if you like Game of Thrones, The Song of Ice and Fire, Star Wars, Marvel. Right now, I'm in a House of the Dragon mode because it's happening and it's current. But yeah, yep. I talk about all kinds of nerdy things. And every Sunday, Mesa Windu and I and Josh, we do a discussion on the episodes right after the episode airs. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of people join in and we share memes. It's pretty hilarious.
Awesome. JJ, you might have to actually do a TikTok live right now, because I think a lot of people in the comments want to know more. They have a lot of questions that weren't answered.
Oh, I get it.
You may have to do that tonight, actually. So good luck, okay?
I wish I could quit my job and do this all day. I swear to God.
Guys, but we do have time. We're over the time. So, Richard, I forgot. Do you want to promote anything?
If you don't want to follow me on Twitter, it's at fuckoffharvey. go for it. But I don't post a whole lot. But you will see from time to time. I do. It's Houston sports and my dumb idiot thoughts throughout the day. And then also, especially around House of the Dragon, there will be I try not to spoil too much. I try to like have this kind of a tone when speaking about it, but there's definitely a House of the Dragon content there if you want to find it. So.
Awesome. Well, guys, that's the end of our episode. We have another episode that's starting in 1 minute. it's about The Bachelor, so it's probably not interested to you guys, but if you guys like The Bachelor, feel free to stick around for that one. But thank you guys for coming on. This was so much fun. Always fun. You two are probably the most knowledgeable about Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, and it's so much fun having you guys on here. Can't wait to have you guys back. It's awesome. Until next time, guys, Salam, nerds.
Peace.
Bye, guys.